Hey, everybody. Are you wondering what to get to Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for Christmas this year? Halloween's over, so it means it's time to start getting your gift lists together. And all we want for the holidays is to meet our Patreon stretch goal. We're already pretty close, and if we can hit $1,000 by December 3rd, 2021, we'll not only get a bonus golden ticket episode for the holidays and every month after that, but we're all going to stuff your stocking with some bonus content. Two bonuses, because it's bonus content on top of other bonus content. You know those days between Christmas and New Year's where time just has no meaning and you're aimlessly moving small piles of random holiday things and garbage and things that you're not sure are garbage just around your house between various rooms? Well, if you want to avoid that, we can try to hit our stretch goal by December 3rd and then be able to schedule three game shelf decathlons during those nothing days in order to fill your holiday time with trivia cheer. Dates on the board are December 26th, December 28th, and December 30th, each one hosted by one of your podcast creators. Now, what's a game shelf decathlon, you ask? That is getting online on Zoom with the creators and friends of our show, as well as a bunch of your fellow Patreon listeners, to do an hour or so of trivia, games, team competitions, and general shenanigans that are pulled from our overflowing game shelves in our various homes. Does sound like fun? Go to usaquizshow.membership for the complete list of support tiers and perks that include things like Epta Studio episodes on Fridays, ad-free episodes in your main feed on Mondays, access to our Discord where we chat about the show, and so, so much more. Looking for $1,000 by December 3rd for that Patreon stretch goal, and thank you so much for your support. Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that feels a donkey spell coming on. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Serafina Salt Bay Cobain.
Don't be salty when I win this season.
Vandy Beth, Camp Counselor Glenn.
It's a good thing I brought a tent, because you're getting housed.
And Bridget, logistically difficult baking enthusiast, Vance.
Got my wellies on and ready to kick some soggy bottoms.
Hello, hello, welcome one and all, and thank you to all our players and listeners for joining us today. We are a good ways into our fifth season today with the second elimination match of our Rancho Carne High Division. Keeping score and making sure everything runs smoothly is our pal, Score Master Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I do think it's important that we remind players right now that if we're on the field, there are no cleats larger than 1/4 inch allowed. The groundskeeper has been complaining, and we don't have to switch over to a turf field, you know, the ankle injuries and all that.
Thanks for that PSA, Dan. Also helping us out today is our friend, Production Master Dave. Hey, Dave.
The thing I was doing tonight, I'm not doing anymore. I told them I had to spend the evening with Britain's premier equestrian journalist.
That sounds like it's time to trot on over to our first game, a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture. We choose the battle that those champions are fighting. Rom-communist Serafina Cobain, who is your champion today?
I'm going with Wayne from Letterkenny.
Returning to the show after our summer blockbuster special, she's also a regular at our Patreon Zoom game nights, it's filmmaker and bon vivant Vandy Beth Glenn. Vandy, who is your champion today?
I chose Bruce Wayne's butler, Alfred Pennyworth.
And haver of too many jobs and possibly too many children, Bridget Vance, who is your champion?
I have selected Fleabag from Fleabag.
Three champions are locked in. Dave is going to serve as the judge today. So I think that means it's time to spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who's got the most followers on TikTok? Serafina, why is Letterkenny's Wayne going to have the most followers on TikTok?
Well, you wouldn't think maybe he'd have the most followers because he's not really a big social media, very trying to put himself out there. But he is very popular in the town of Letterkenny, and his sister Katie definitely knows how to work social media and how to work her own looks for popularity. So I can imagine her running a TikTok of Wayne and his one-liners and general tips around the farm and making that incredibly way more popular than you would ever expect it to be, particularly because Wayne is so good-looking that it would help boost the followers a little.
Thank you, Serafina. Vandy, how about Alfred Pennyworth from the Batman universe?
Well, as we know, Bruce Wayne projects an image of being a dissolute playboy so that no one will suspect him of being Batman. And that means going out on the town all the time and being seen in public doing nutty, insubstantial things like going to parties and being an influencer and such like that. But a billionaire is not going to mess with his own technology, so Alfred is going to actually run the camera and take all the footage of Bruce Wayne that is uploaded to TikTok. So just as a normal, completely ordinary part of his job, Alfred Pennyworth is going to be a huge TikTok influencer.
Sounds pretty good. Bridget, now it's your turn. Why is Fleabag from Fleabag going to have the most TikTok followers?
Well, Fleabag, as we learn in the second season, is about 32 years old. So she's an elder millennial like myself, maybe wasn't on TikTok to begin with, but now that she sees all the young people on TikTok, she's kind of got some stunted growth going on in her life. I think it's probably a place for her. Plus, we know from, I believe it's the first season, she's not afraid to take certain kinds of photos and spread them out far and wide to her entire network. So I think she'd be a very avid oversharer on TikTok, and that seems to be what the young people like to watch over there.
Three pretty good arguments all around. I'm glad I don't have to decide because it's up to Dave. Dave, who's going to be our winner?
Well, we have two that are sort of like TikTok by proxy, which is fine. I think that's a good way to approach it. Fleabag doesn't want to touch TikTok with the 10-foot pole because she generally doesn't want to touch anybody with the 10-foot pole. She is not somebody that is going to embrace social media. So I'm going to go with Alfred Pennyworth for this. I mean, if you can just suck at the teat of Batman for your social posts, you really got a lot to work with, even if you don't go into the big score of who is. Like, if you just dance around it and little glimpses and behind-the-scenes stuff, that, I think, is going to get Alfred Pennyworth the most TikTok followers out of everybody today.
That means our winner for my champion is Vandy and Alfred Pennyworth.
Woohoo!
Fun fact, Alfred's TikTok channel is how Tim Drake got all the clues to figure out who Batman was. Vandy, you get to go first in round one, and you also get a shot at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you'll have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is the half point question. What is the title of the real-time political thriller in which Johnny Depp gets his shoes shined twice by Charles S. Dundon in under 2 hours?
Was that Nick of Time?
It was indeed Nick of Time. That is a half a point for Vandy, and it's going to take us right into round one, tying the knot. Here at Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Central, we're getting a little sentimental and going through our wedding memories. Not our weddings, mind you, but ones that we've seen in pop culture. In this game, I'll share one of our fond remembrances of the wedding with you, and you have to tell me the pop culture property where we saw it. So, for instance, if I told you that we remembered a wedding from 2002 where the highlight was the speech from the bride's father about how cultural differences really don't matter, culminating in him giving the couple a house, even though the groom isn't Greek Orthodox, you'd know that the property was...
My big fat Greek wedding.
Yes, My Big Fat Greek Wedding won. That would get you 10 points. Now, if you needed some more help, I could tell you the name of the couple, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. We'll start round one with Vandy. This comes from the year 2013. You know, when we found out that Michael was going to be the best man, I really didn't think he'd go for a "that's what she said" joke.
Is that from The Office?
Yes, the series finale of The Office with Angela and Dwight's wedding. 10 points to Vandy. Next to Bridget, this is from 1989. I don't care if he has a fishtail and is apparently the king of somewhere or another, the father of the bride should at least put on a shirt for the wedding.
Is that the Little Mermaid?
Yes. Next to Serafina, this is from 2013. The horrific unexpected massacre at the after party notwithstanding, it really was a beautiful ceremony.
Game of Thrones?
The legendary Red Wedding from Game of Thrones. Next up, back to Vandy from a wedding from 2009. For someone who has just had surgery to remove a brain tumor and is hallucinating her dead fiancé, the bride was just radiant.
Oh, is that my crazy ex-girlfriend?
That's going to be from a 2009 episode of Grey's Anatomy for the wedding of Izzy and Alex. Next up, back to Bridget from the year 1991. Oh, the hijinks. The groom almost didn't make it to the ceremony as he went skydiving the night before, and the reception had to get moved to a house in San Francisco.
Could I have a hint, please?
The wedding of Becky and Jesse.
Oh, is that Full House?
Yes, it is, for 5 points. Next up, back to Serafina. We're going to the year 2007. Sure, the groom kidnapped the bride, but this time it's special. He didn't just put her in another castle like he did in previous games. He put on a nice tux and he got her to the altar, so he's showing some effort. She looks great, but I'm still wondering how he got the tux on with those spikes on his back.
Is that Super Mario Brothers?
Specifically from Paper Mario series, the wedding of Peach and Bowser. Yes, for 10 points. Back to Vandy, we're going to the year 2018. Look, sometimes things go over the top in Singapore, but $40 million on a wedding is a little much even there. The bride was literally walking on water.
That's Crazy Rich Asians.
Absolutely, for 10 points. Back to Bridget, we're going to the year 2011. The wedding was perfect, but I understand that there was a lot of drama behind the scenes, with the bride fleeing her own wedding because of the extravagant plans. Good thing she showed up. I wouldn't have wanted to miss Wilson Phillips.
Is that Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids, correct. Next to Serafina, we're in the year 1997. I was really surprised that the maid of honor gave such an endearing speech. It really didn't seem like she and the bride were getting along too well beforehand.
Can I get a hint, please?
The wedding of Kimmy and Michael.
I feel like I should know this. Pass.
Kimmy and Michael are Cameron Diaz and Dermot Mulroney in My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts as that maid of honor. That'll take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, Tara, we have a very tight game. Serafina has 20 points. Vandy is just ahead with 20 points and the half point. Bridget in the lead, but not by much. She has 25 points.
All right, Vandy, coming back to you for a pop culture wedding from the year 2011. The wedding reception was nice enough, but everything got really overshadowed by the rogue planet coming to destroy the Earth.
Could I have a hint?
The wedding of Justine and Michael.
Is that Armageddon?
Serafina knows this one.
Melancholia?
Yes, the long wedding that opens Lars von Trier's film, Melancholia. Back to Bridget. This pop culture wedding's from the year 2008. I liked the Indian-themed wedding, but the maid of honor seems a little unstable. I hope she's getting some help.
Is it New Girl?
That's going to be Rachel's wedding from Rachel Getting Married with Anne Hathaway as that unstable sister slash maid of honor. Back over to Serafina, a pop culture wedding from the year 2001. It's not great that the groom wasn't going to show up until he thought the bride was pregnant, but the best man had an amazing costume for the ceremony.
Is this Friends?
Yes, Monica and Chandler's wedding on Friends. One more remembrance of a pop culture wedding per player. This next one is for Vandy. It comes from the year 2011. An outdoor wedding in the Pacific Northwest is a bold choice, but they got lucky. No rain on the shocking number of flowers they put up in the forest.
Could I have a hint?
The wedding of Bella and Edward.
Oh, darn it, this is from the Twilight movies.
We'll take it. The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1, the fourth Twilight film. Next up to Bridget in the year 1999. Turns out the wedding wasn't really supposed to be in a fancy Philadelphia hotel. The groom's older brother, Eric, just convinced the hotel manager that they were a different party.
Can I have a hint?
The wedding of Topanga and Corey.
Oh, Boy Meets World.
Correct for 5. And closing out round one with Serafina, we're in the year 1961. I'm not sure if it was official, but when they said, "Make of our vows one last vow, only death will part us now," I didn't expect it to be quite so literal.
That sounds so familiar. Can I get the hint?
The wedding of Maria and Tony.
Oh, this has got to be West Side Story.
Yes, they're by themselves bridal shop wedding in Act 1 of West Side Story. Well, that'll finish it up for round 1. Up next, the scores from Dan and on into round 2. Hey, listeners, Taylor here to tell you about this week's content over on our Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Patreon page. Keying off the TikToks and times of our opening round today, we've got a game called Of Order Out. It's going to be a round of trivia questions about pop culture with non-linear narratives, multiple timelines, and any other ways to mess with the internal clocks of the viewer's experiences. We're not just talking simple flashbacks here. We mean full-blown, out-of-order nonsense. Think you got what it takes to answer those questions? Check usaquizshow.com/membership to subscribe.
Taylor, take that again. Flashbox. That's what chickens do.
Bok, bok! Did I say flashbox?
Yeah.
Yes, you did. God.
The movie about time-traveling chickens.
Marty, we gotta go balk!
Going to round 2, it's time for the confirmation bias score break. Confirmation bias, the reason the Paw Patrol movie has an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. As of this point, Serafina has 35 points in the lead, Bridget is close behind with 30, and Vandy is as close she can get to that. She's got 25 points and a half point, which means she'll get to go first in round 2.
It also means Vandy's going to get to make up some of that ground and maybe even overtake some of her fellow players in the Threequalizer. I'm about to ask you a question that has 3 possible answers. You'll have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you can match correctly. Your Threequalizer question is: one-time fake newsman Stephen Colbert has credits for voice performances on 3 different Adult Swim original animated series. Name them.
Archer. Oh, that's not... Space Ghost. Well, the third one is maybe, I don't know, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Sadly, no feature of Stephen Colbert there. The 3 shows on Adult Swim that he did appear on were Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, Rick and Morty, and The Venture Brothers. Anywhere from 37 to 1 episodes for any of those shows. Mm. But we're going to keep with some fake news people and going into round 2 entitled J-School Dropouts. We don't really expect fictional journalists to adhere to the professional and ethical standards that we'd hope for from real reporters, but some of the purported journalists we see in pop culture really miss the mark. In this game, I'll tell you a little about the unethical or unprofessional behavior of a pop culture journalist. You tell me the property that they're from. For instance, if I told you, if you're going to write about a second-tier rock band, maybe don't get so friendly with them and their groupies, you'd know that journalism failure was from...
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous, correct, with the journalist William Miller, played by Patrick Fugit. That answer would get you 30 points. If you need more help, I can tell you a little more about the property and even the name of the actor playing the journalist, but the more hints you get, the fewer points you'll get for a correct answer. We'll start round 2 with Fandy. I don't care how much your editor wants those pictures, you can't stage shots of yourself in a costume and then sell them to a major newspaper.
That's Spider-Man.
Yes, with Peter Parker selling his pics to the Daily Bugle. Next up to Bridget. She suspects that a politician on the rise is implicated in a murder she's investigating, so maybe she shouldn't sleep with him? And when she does figure out he's a killer, she shouldn't be too surprised when he kills her as well.
Can I have a hint, please?
From a 2013 TV series.
Gosh, I'm just drawing a blank. What happened in 2013? Can I have another hint?
This journalist was played by Kate Mara, or Kate Mara. I still don't know, and never will.
I have no idea. Pass.
Serafina knows this one.
That's House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, with Kate Mara as Zoe Barnes. Next up, this is for Serafina. Working with a punk hacker to illegally get access to information isn't great, but then sleeping with said punk hacker is definitely over the line.
Wow. Can I get the hint?
A 2011 movie based on a book series.
Oh, A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo?
Yes, Daniel Craig's Mikael Blomkvist in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Next journalism failure for Vandy. Lots of journalists commit small crimes to get the story, but theft, assault, and a couple of murders seems like a bit much.
Yeah, that could be any journalist. could I get the hint?
From a 2014 film drama.
Could I get another hint?
This journalist played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes, Nightcrawler.
Yes, as Lou Bloom in what I think is Jake Gyllenhaal's best performance, Nightcrawler. Next up to Bridget. She uses Veritaserum to force subjects to talk with her, and she just makes up quotes or has her writing device do it for her.
Can I get a hint?
From a 2005 fantasy movie.
Oh, good grief. I've seen TV and movies in the last few years, I promise. Is this a Harry Potter thing?
It is a Harry Potter thing. That is Miranda Richardson's Rita Skeeter, first appearing in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Next up, back to Serafina. She takes illegal drugs from her subject, gets romantic with him, and tries to kill a screenwriter and his twin brother when they find her out.
Wow. That's a lot. Can I get the hit?
A 2002 weird meta drama movie.
Can I get the last hint?
Played by Meryl Streep.
Wow, I have no idea what this is, and I feel like I should. Yep, I got absolutely nothing.
Vandy knows this one.
Yeah, that's the fictional version of Susan Orleans played by Meryl Streep in Adaptation.
Yes, the real Susan Orleans in the years since has been a very fun presence on Twitter. Vandy, this next one's for you. Even for a guy known for writing a sexist USA Today column, he's pretty bad. He writes a harsh column about a woman, pays her to take part in a story, then romances her.
Again, that could be just about any USA Today columnist. could I get the hint?
A 1999 rom-com.
Oh, 99 rom-com. Let me get the last hint.
This journalist is played by Richard Gere.
Richard Gere. Oh, okay. I don't know this at all. Pass.
That movie, Runaway Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, back to Bridget. I know that we don't hold weathermen to the same ethical standards as other reporters, but if you're sent to cover a quaint local tradition, you should at least try to hide your utter disdain for everyone who enjoys it or takes it seriously. And definitely don't kidnap and kill the central figure in the tradition, even if it works out okay.
Is that Groundhog Day?
For the full 30 for Bridget, that is Groundhog Day. Back to Serafina. Her editor sends her to investigate a spaceship that crashed in the Canadian Arctic, but she decides not to run the story because the alien turns out to be cute, into her, and sad because his dad died for no reason.
Wow, that was a twist. can I get the hint?
A 2013 superhero movie.
2013 superhero movie. Alien that is into her. Wow. All right, this is right up my alley, and yet I can't get it. Can I get a hint? Last hint?
The journalist played by Amy Adams.
Amy Adams. The only thing that's coming to mind. Oh, the Man of Steel.
Wow. Yes, the start of the DCEU Man of Steel. That's going to take us right to our personal Man of Steel, Dan Cassino, with the next update on the scores.
All right, we still have a very close game. Serafina has 65 points. Vandy is just ahead with 65 points and the half point. And you know, it just warms the cockles of my heart when the half point makes a difference. Even below the cockles, the subcocular region, wherever that is, it just makes me very happy. And Bridget is in the lead. She has 80 points.
I never thought subcocular would ever be a word I would hear on this show. But
made me uncomfortable.
Let's get back into it with Vandy for her next journalism failure. He takes what's supposed to be a softball interview and uses his access to get the equivalent of therapy for himself.
Okay, I gotta take the first hint.
A 2019 drama movie.
2019. Oh, I need the other hint.
The journalist played by Matthew Rhys.
Matthew Rhys. This is the Mr. Rogers thing. Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Won't You Be My Neighbor was the 2018 Mr. Rogers documentary, but the scripted film with Tom Hanks and Matthew Rhys was called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Next up to Bridget. She follows a bunch of teenagers way too closely, up to planting a video camera at a party, and I'm pretty sure she gets at least a couple people killed by not knowing when to back off a story about a slasher.
Is that Scream?
Courtney Cox as Gale Weathers in Scream. To Serafina. You'd think a veteran investigative journalist at a major TV news channel would avoid voicing opinions about her subjects on air, but apparently she missed that day in J school.
Can I get the hint?
A 1988 sitcom.
And I'll take the last hint.
This journalist played by Candace Bergen.
Oh, wow. I know this and I'm completely blanking. They just redid it. Murphy Brown?
For 10 points. One more pop culture journalism failure apiece. This one's for Vandy. She hires an underground team of mercenaries to help her get a colleague out of Mexico. Nothing too wrong with that. But she follows it by hanging out with said mercenaries, helping them with their jobs, and then writing about what happened.
I need the first hint.
A 1983 action TV show.
83 action TV show. Is that the A-Team?
Yes, Amy Amanda Triple A Allen from the A-Team. Next up to Bridget. There's nothing wrong with investigating paranormal occurrences and even confronting the creatures when you find them. But for this guy, the actual evidence always winds up disappearing, but he still writes about it, hoping that everyone will trust him anyway.
Can I get a hint, please?
A 1972 TV series remade in 2005.
Okay. Ah, yes. 1972 TV series is usually my specialty, but I'm struggling a little bit today. Let's do the hint.
Played by Darren McGavin.
Jeez, I have no idea. Pass.
That's going to be Carl Kolchak on the show, Kolchak the Night Stalker. See a lot of just dubious head shakes from all our contestants. And Dan Cassino is just laughing with glee at getting to talk about Kolchak the Night Stalker.
He's got a good hat. He was played by Stuart Townes in the 2005 version. It was a big inspiration for the X-Files. Okay.
We'll close out round two with Serafina. Journalists are supposed to stay out of the story, and I don't know how you square that with being a boy adventurer who mostly seems to be searching for treasure. And seriously, don't take your dog into dangerous situations.
Got a couple thoughts, but yeah, can I get the hint?
A 2011 movie based on a long-running comic series.
All right, I need the last hint.
This journalist is voiced by Jamie Bell.
Voiced by Jamie Bell. I've got nothing.
Vandy knows this one?
It's Tintin.
Yes, from Hairs, The Adventures of Tintin, adapted by Steven Spielberg in the year 2011. Well, that'll wrap it up for round two. Next up, one more score update from Dan and on to our final round. Before the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Listeners, if you can correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode drops online, you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Dan, let's hear that riddle.
I trod the land a long time past. My tales were weird, but have seemed to last. I was a pirate, a thief, a king, any title you could bear, but really found my voice under Stan Lee's air.
Think you know the answer? Then find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and show off that pop culture knowledge. Then, if you want to find the answer out for real, follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at USA Quiz Show, where you can find riddle solutions and all sorts of other side tangents and ephemera based on things we talked about on the show this week. Thanks for that riddle, Dan. Let's hear the scores.
Absolutely. Going into round three, it's time for the Dan has to read whatever I say here. Anything? Score break? Dan has to read anything I say here? Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm 105 years old. Fred Allen, Lillian Gish, the Bickersons. Right now, Briggs is in the lead with 110 points. Vandy has 85 points and the half point. Serafina has 75 points. That means she'll get to go first in round three, and she'll need to get four correct answers in order to move into first place.
We always love when it's a tight race up at the top because anything can still happen in the lightning round. The lightning round is where players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in their chosen category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are the 49ers, the Bills, the Buccaneers, and the Texans. Now, those topics aren't fully clear from their names alone as to what the content of them will be, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Serafina, in third place, you get first crack at a lightning round topic. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are the 49ers, the Bills, the Buccaneers, and the Texans.
Well, I think I have to go with the 49ers just because I am a 49er fan, theoretically. And I honestly cannot figure out what most of these would be.
Oh, boy. You picked the Dan Casino category. I'm
you
sorry.
You really did. Well, this doesn't have too much to do, if anything at all, with the San Francisco 49ers, the NFL franchise. This is all going to be about movies, music, and other pop culture that premiered in the year 1949.
Thought that might be the case.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Serafina, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra star in this musical about sailors on shore leave.
Pass.
In her final film role, this formal child actor pretends to seduce David Niven.
Shirley Temple?
Jane Addams played Vicki Vale in a serial featuring this superhero.
Batman?
This Italian-American singer, nicknamed Mr. C, hit number one with Some Enchanted Evening.
Pass.
Robert Armstrong, not Michael Douglas and Carl Malden, starred in this crime drama.
Pass.
Carol Channing was Lorelai Lee in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes on stage, but she had the role in the movie.
Marilyn Monroe?
Later adapted into an 80s and 90s sitcom, a feature film has this British butler go to college.
Oh. Pass.
Adam's Rib starred this beloved screen duo.
Katherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy.
In 1949 alone, Penny Singleton starred in two movies about this comic strip character.
Pass.
This Shane actor had the title role in The Great Gatsby.
Pass.
Gary Cooper starred in this Ayn Rand adaptation.
Pass.
That is The Fountainhead back in 1949.
Dan, you apologize to Serafina right now.
You know, all of these were tied into other stuff that happened more recently. I was being very kind about it.
Yeah. So Serafina actually did better than I thought. Not No judgment on Serafina. Judgment on the question set.
Yeah. Better than I would have done as a contestant. Absolutely. On this, for sure.
I just want you to know that Monty Ashley is screaming at his phone right now. Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra starred in On the Town about sailors on shore leave. The Italian-American singer nicknamed Mr. C is Perry Como. The 70s crime drama starring Michael Douglas and Carl Malden that has the same name as a Robert Armstrong movie is Streets of San Francisco. A feature film has Mr. Belvedere go to college, where I understand at some point he sits on something and injures himself. In 1949 alone, Penny Singleton starred in two movies about Blondie. There was like 30 of them. She kept on making those movies. And it was Alan Ladd who had the title role in The Great Gatsby, the one that came out in 1949. Serafina got 4 correct answers. That's all she needed to move into first place. She now has 115 points and the lead. Vandy is up next. She has 85 points and the half point, which means she'll only need 3 correct answers in order to move into first place.
All right, Vandy, 3 categories still up on the board. They are the Bills, the Buccaneers, and the Texans.
Let's go with the Buccaneers.
Any guesses as to what's going on in this category?
I'm thinking it's about pirates in pop culture, and I hope I'm good at that.
Well, I can tell you of the 2 things you just said, one of them I can verify is correct. It is about pirates in pop culture. Whether or not you're good at it remains to be seen. 90 seconds on the clock. Vandy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Johnny Depp plays this captain in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
He played Long John Silver in Muppet Treasure Island.
Tim Curry.
This Milton Caniff comic strip ran from 1934 to 1973.
Terry and the Pirates.
She top-lined Rennie Harlan's 1995 flop, Cutthroat Island.
Gina Davis.
Heroic pirate Guybrush Threepwood stars in this series of LucasArts games.
Pass.
Latvia sent a musical act called Pirates of the Sea to this competition in 2008.
Eurovision Song Contest.
Errol Flynn's Captain Blood showed up in this 1985 kids' adventure movie.
The Goonies.
This musician and restaurateur had a number one bestseller with A Pirate Looks at 50 in 1998.
Jimmy Buffett.
The Dread Pirate Roberts turns out to be an inherited title in this beloved movie.
Princess Bride.
Dustin Hoffman has this role in a 1991 Spielberg movie.
Captain Hook.
Aardman, best known for this Oscar-winning claymation series, made The Pirates in 2012.
Nick Park.
Wallace and Gromit. This best-selling manga follows wannabe pirate captain Monkey D. Luffy.
Cowboy Bebop?
One Piece. This light opera duo wrote The Pirates of Penzance or The Slave of Duty.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Correct, but after the buzzer, it is indeed Gilbert and Sullivan. All right, Dan, how about the Vandy Report?
Absolutely. Not too many passes to go over here. Guybrush Threepwood is the main character in the Monkey Island games from LucasArts. Vandy got 9 correct answers, so she turned out to be very good at the pirate category. She now has 175 points and the half point, so she is in the lead. Bridget is up next and will need 7 correct answers in order to move into first place and take the win.
All right, Bridget, 2 categories remain. Which one do you think you can get 7 or more correct answers on? They are the Bills and the Texans.
God, I have no idea. I think I'm going to go with the Bills.
Do you got a guess as to what's going on with the Bills?
People named Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. People and characters named Bill or Billy. 90 seconds on the clock. Bridget, are you ready?
Sure.
He starred in Twister and True Lies.
Bill Paxton.
He starred in Independence Day and Spaceballs.
Bill Pullman?
Bill Hader voices Professor Impossible on this Adult Swim show.
Pass.
Bill Skarsgård plays the clown known as this in the recent It movies.
Pennywise?
Her debut studio album, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, hit number 1 in 2019.
Pass.
Billy Crudup played musician Russell Hammond in this Cameron Crowe movie.
Almost Famous?
He used to wear a vial of Angelina Jolie's blood.
Billy Bob Thornton.
This native of Hicksville, Long Island, is the fourth best-selling solo artist ever in the U.S.
Billy Joel?
Billy Zane slammed evil as this purple-clad pulp adventurer.
Pass.
He was the first openly gay black man to win a lead acting category at the Primetime Emmys.
I can't remember his name. Pass.
Billy Crystal was an NBA ref romancing Deborah Winger in this 1995 movie.
Pass.
This British actress went from Doctor Who to Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
Billy Piper.
Bradley Whitford co-starred with Adam Sandler in this 1995 movie.
Billy Madison?
He produced Scrubs, Ted Lasso, and the short-lived Rush Hour TV show.
Bill Lawrence.
We are taking Bill Lawrence at the buzzer. Dan, let's hear the Bridget Report.
Oh, I love a close game. Let's go through it. Bill Hader voices Professor Impossible on The Venture Brothers. It's Billie Eilish's debut album, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go?, that was number one in 2019. See, and people say it's all old stuff. I put Billie Eilish in there, you still don't get it. You're going to get more 1950 stuff. That's what happens.
Here's a cookie for you.
Billy Zane slammed evil as The Phantom, which is a fun movie, actually. Yeah, it's a bit pulpy. It's got Catherine Zeta-Jones. The first openly gay black man to win a leading actor category at the Primetime Emmys is Billy Porter. And the movie where Billy Crystal romances Deborah Winger is Forget Paris. Bridget got 9 correct answers. That means our final scores are Serafina with 115, Vander with 175 points and a half point, and our winner with 200 points, it's Bridget.
Bridget, hey, congratulations. Bridget. Well fought, everybody.
Good round. Congratulations, Bridget. But that does mean it is now the end of the road here at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for Vandy and Serafina. Super, super fun game. Really, really enjoyed playing with you both today. Serafina, is there anything that you would like to point our listeners towards?
Yeah, there's a podcast a bunch of people I work with do called World to Win, the socialist podcast. Sorry to bring in politics.
No problem there. Thank you, Serafina. And Vandy, anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I am a filmmaker, and my first film, which is a comedy short, is up on YouTube now. The title is Wild HR, and I believe the link will be in the show notes.
It absolutely will. Thank you, Vandy. But the biggest congratulations today are for Bridget. Bridget, you're going to be moving on to the Rancho Carne High Division Finals. In the meantime, is there anything you're going to be watching, listening to really study up to get that biggest knowledge base you can get?
Well, I think it's clear my knowledge of sitcoms from 1972 is definitely a blind spot for me. But I have a lot, including the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So please don't ask about that when I'm back. Thank you.
The Rancho Carne High Division Finals will be our special all Kolchak the Night Stalker episode. So just to let you know in advance.
Darn it.
And Bridget, is there anything you'd like to plug before you go?
Well, you can't follow any of my fun social media channels because they're not that fun and they're all private. But if after listening to me know about pop culture bills, you want to hire me as your doula or childbirth educator, you can do so by going to my website, which is www.doulacraft.com. And then I also just want to put in a plug for continuing to support abortion access around the country through your local fund or through going to abortionfunds.org.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bridget. And listeners, you can also follow Bridget as the strawberry shortcake emoji over on our season 5 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for the third elimination match of the North Shore High Division, locking in the players for that division for the season 5 playoffs. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.